What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 60 of the MMArcade podcast. Rob, we had a week off. You had some tough times at home. Is everything all right? It's all good.
We did inadvertently because the flu just ran through my household and it ran through like my kids, raw crook. My youngest one, my one-year-old, got really sick and had to take to hospital and work that out. Then like my old folks were crook as well, so they couldn't come in and help. No one could cover the slack. It was just like a domino effect, right? But it's good now. Everyone's kind of turned a corner and it looks like everyone's kind of going up from here.
Yeah. So that was the reason why that we had a week off. Like we really tried. We like set a day, kept setting days, but that kept happening. So we do apologize.
All my fault. It usually is my fault.
It's not your fault, man. That is like your family getting sick is number one priority. So
It wasn't planned. So it was like I was like, I can do Sunday, then I can do Monday, then I can do Wednesday, and then let's try and do Thursday. It was a mess.
That's all right. We can still talk about our reactions to UFC 313, but now that we're closer to some other events, we can also talk about UFC London. We can talk about the fight night that took place today with Dolidze and Vettori. Not necessarily a fight breakdown, but Rob was kind of called out at the end. So I wanted to throw that in.
And you know what is cool, I guess, because of like the week since the Ankalaev fight and whatnot, as well as the Gaethje fight, because they're the ones we're going to talk about primarily, is that there's been like a lot of Twitter and social talk back and forth between people like John Jones and between people like
Tommy Aspinall.
Aspinall having a go. And Clive and him being mates now. And then Justin saying like he's ready for the belt, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, there's so much, man.
Yeah, and Saruki and chirping in there.
It's getting spicy, eh?
It's almost cool sometimes, I guess, to be delayed because you see all the aftermath of you know, significance when someone loses a title. But yeah, jump into it, mate.
Well, let's jump into it. Magomed Ankalaev, of course, we saw at UFC 313, defeated Alex Pereira via unanimous decision. Rob, what were your thoughts on the fight?
Mate, I thought Ankalaev did an excellent work of just keeping Pereira on the back foot. Pereira is most dangerous when he's pushing forward.
Yeah.
When he's the aggressor, when he can control the output of strikes. And we saw it when he fought Roundtree as well. When Roundtree was putting it on him, he didn't look as good. And then Roundtree fell off, slowed down. Pereira was able to control that again, and then he took control. Ankalaev, bar a few moments, didn't really let Pereira get in the game, didn't give him the space or timing he needed to set up his own shots. Not to mention, I've got to give credit to Ankalaev's head, his chin.
Yeah.
Because he took some shots from Pereira, but didn't die, what I mean? Which was what everyone expects when, like, you know, pre this fight.
Dude, his pressure, you nailed it. Alex kept having to go back and clearly he wasn't comfortable doing that. And he was, I don't want to say over relying on his kicks because he always likes to throw the low kicks and low calf kicks, but he wasn't really letting his hands go. Do you take that down to Ankalaev's pressure or what do you reckon?
I definitely think his pressure played a big game. I think a lot of people are looking past Ankalaev's leg work.
I agree. Yeah.
I think he did a lot of really good leg work, which really kind of stunted Pereira's distance management. But not only that, Ankalaev's, the way he fights, he's kind of bouncy. For a light heavyweight, he's kind of bouncy. He was utilizing his speed. He was controlling the distance that way, utilizing his own kicks to control that no man's land, and then bursting in when he would strike. You know, I thought he did, I think collectively, he did really well to really disrupt Pereira's space control as well as his forward momentum.
For sure. And similar to the Roundtree fight, end of round two, I believe it was, Magomed actually dropped Alex. He was kind of saved by the bell a little bit there. A few more seconds, it might have ended.
Yeah, maybe, potentially. You know, Pereira has an uncanny ability of coming back from from danger, right? Yeah. But I don't know. Ankalaev looked really good that fight. I thought his forward pressure was definitely the lead component to winning. You know, when the judges' scorecards came up, like the announcement for the winner, gave it to Pereira, would I have written a letter of complaint? No, because it was close, and I can see them doing some funny business. I thought Ankalaev won.
Same.
I had him winning in my books, but yeah, congratulations to him. You know?
Ultimately, it came down to that third round. That third round was the first one clearly was Alex. The second one clearly was Magomed. Third was disputed or close, sorry. Fourth was clearly Magomed, and then the fifth was Alex. So it was that third round, and I just felt like Magomed looked a little better, did a little more. But again, like if it went to Alex, I wouldn't have been upset or anything like that. But did you notice, by the way, as they were about to announce the winner and then Dana read the card? And clearly from that moment, I knew that Ankalaev won. He just didn't look happy.
I try not to look too much into it. I've seen that happen before. Dana being filthy. But I try not to look into it too much because sometimes it doesn't go the way you think it is. You know,
I feel you.
Granted, it's 30 seconds before the announcement, not even. Right.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what? I did think it funny when Pereira, straight after the fight, and obviously emotions are running high, but he's talking about the cage control when Ankalaev pushed him up against the fence and controlled him there.
Mm-hmm.
And albeit wasn't doing a lot of damage, but he was still getting pushed up against the fence and held there. You know, it wasn't like Ankalaev wasn't trying to do anything. Mm. And if it was, you know, if it's such a no contest sort of thing, then like get off the fence.
Yeah.
Get off it. He did it a few times like during the fight, and you can't let another man control you, period. Mm. Right.
And honestly, like Alex was not throwing, like, yes, he was throwing his kicks, but he wasn't throwing much with his hands. He wasn't letting them go. And he did a fantastic job. Don't get me wrong. Fantastic job with the takedown defense. I believe it was like 11 or 12 takedowns he snuffed.
Yeah.
But Magomed's pressure, but also not just his pressure, but I think just the takedown threat maybe had Alex a little bit skittish in terms of whether he wanted to completely let his hands go, because he just kept working back and throwing the leg kicks, maybe anticipating a takedown. But he was doing well with the takedown defense, so I don't know if he should have been scared if that was the case.
Definitely.
Not too sure.
It's hard to get into his head. He had Alex had a lot of success with that early calf kick. I'm surprised that Ankalaev's turnaround from those first few rounds of just copping those calves early.
Yeah.
But I didn't mention maybe because it is the lead leg to lead leg, southpaw to orthodox.
Southpaw, yeah.
He couldn't generate as much power as he normally does.
Maybe.
So it was still welted up. You could see that. But I think, you know, moving from the fight.
Yep.
I think the rematch is in the works already. Like we said, because it's been a week since.
We've
seen the Twitter posts. We've seen the talks. Ankalaev has done videos. And I think the rematch is happening.
For everything that Alex did for the UFC, all the short turnaround fights, saving cards, and he had a few defenses as well. Like, it makes complete sense. And who else would you put in there, right? Like, yes, Jiří just had a good win against Hill, but he's probably a win or so, you know, he needs a couple of wins at least to get back in there, maybe at least one big win. Who else would be that's in that spot? No one really, right?
Yep.
So I think it makes a lot of sense for them to run it back. I did see some people suggest, who was it? I was watching Ariel Helwani's show where they were like, why run it back? He lost in middleweight and he moved up. Is there an argument for him just moving up to heavyweight, or is that shine is gone now? Like, no one really at the moment, it seems, wants to see him fight the likes of Tommy Aspinall or John Jones, especially if that fight is on. What do you reckon about that?
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic because it's weird but cool. Like, if he loses, now he's lost the title light heavy, he just moves up again, gets instant title shot. Like, yeah. I'll watch it. You know, this is for science, right?
Yeah.
Science. I think Ankalaev gained a ton of confidence from their first pairing. I think the hype and confidence train that Pereira had, that if he touches you, you're going to go out sort of vibe, is now mootish because Ankalaev didn't die. Like, he didn't go to sleep when Alex punched him. And I think it gave him so much confidence. That's almost lent itself to why he's asking for that rematch straight away. He's like, all the boogeyman vibes, all the mysteries and uncertainties are now gone. Mm. He's very beatable. He's human like anybody else.
And credit to Ankalaev. What is he on now? Like 14 straight wins. He's like, he's getting up there when it comes to those straight win records. So he's doing very well. Do you think the rematch goes any different?
I honestly, I think Ankalaev does better. I think it's less, it's not as close as, you know, it just was. I think Ankalaev, because I'm trying to think of like what Pereira can do differently to fight. If Pereira, because Pereira, this is a big element in their fight was that Pereira didn't want to overextend in case Ankalaev took him down. Now, maybe Pereira goes back, says, hey, he wasn't even shooting, need to overextend. Then he overextends, gets taken down.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I guarantee you, Pereira is not doing better off his back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see the second fight going any differently, but.
Yeah. Well, look, it's apparently being planned. It's probably going to happen at some stage this year. Let's see what happens. But of course, for the co-main, as we all expected, what an awesome fight between Justin Gaethje and Rafael Fiziev. It was as close as their first one. Justin Gaethje beats him via unanimous decision. Rob, what do you think, bro?
I thought it was an amazing fight. It was everything we wanted to see.
Yes.
But I don't know if... Oh, man.
Say it, because I think I know what you're going to say.
I don't know if the Gaethje that fought Fiziev in that second fight is the same one that fought him in that first fight. I just thought there was something off. I thought he might have been half a clip behind or something. Because, and don't get me wrong, like I'm a big Gaethje fan. And Fiziev's a hard fight for anyone, especially if you're just going to take it to him in the hands.
Yeah.
But Fiziev took this fight on 12 days' notice.
Mm.
And like looked so good in the start of the fight. And I feel like comparatively to their first to second fight, I felt like Gaethje had a little bit more in him. I don't know if you saw that as well. It's like, I don't know. Or like it was a standard Gaethje performance, like. But I just felt like it wasn't the same Gaethje we saw pre-Holloway. Does it make sense?
It does make sense. I mean, look, Gaethje was obviously coming off the pretty bad KO loss against Holloway. I think you nailed it there when you said it was a pretty standard Gaethje performance. He obviously dropped him in the second. He looked good. I think maybe and Gaethje was talking about this post-fight, Fiziev changed his game plan a little bit compared to the first fight. Like, he took him down twice in the first round.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if Gaethje ever fought Islam Makhachev, it's probably how it's going to go. But maybe Fiziev's game plan was a little bit different and that took Gaethje off guard. And obviously the KO loss, combination of those factors maybe. Different opponent as well after having trained for one. But Fiziev was coming short notice. He was he hadn't fought in a good while as well. And apparently as well, Fiziev had to gain weight to get the lightweight. There's now talk about him dropping down in weight. So you got to give credit to Fiziev. He did incredibly well. There was a line of argument, and I don't agree with this, by the way. Some people said that they thought Fiziev won because Fiziev in the first part of the third round, especially with those body kicks, might have done a little bit better than Gaethje in the second half of the third round. Do you agree with that? I don't know how I feel about that.
Watching the fight, I felt like Gaethje won, especially the way the fight ends is very significant in the eyes of everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I meant was like I'm hoping from this win, from that firefight with Fiziev,
you know,
he gains that level of confidence he had pre-Holloway, because I think pre-Holloway he was like, granted, sometimes he was a little reckless, but more often than not, he was very good in the firefight. And I hope the time off and that loss is what, I don't know, made him half a click more hesitant than normally. Sure. Because I feel like in their first fight, in their first pairing, Fiziev would throw a punch, whether it would hit him or not, Gaethje was firing straight away.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like there was a little hesitance, mate, like behind Gaethje entering that firefight. It kind of went away as the fight went on, and I'm hoping that next fight that we you know, it kind of flips a switch. We see old Gagey come back, but I don't know. I can't explain it. I just feel like the time off and the loss to Holloway showed itself in that fight.
Sure.
Granted, it was still an amazing performance. And like I said, Fazeev is a nightmare of a fight for anyone, especially if you're only going to firefight with him. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
speaking of next fights, by the way, what do they do with the lightweight division? Because it's in a little bit of a mess right now. Like, obviously, Ahmed Sarukian still the number one contender, but Dana and the UFC aren't not particularly happy with him. So it feels like he needs to get another win and another fight. You've got Charles Oliveira waiting in the wings, Justin Gaethje with that win, but obviously against Fazeev, he's lower ranked and on short notice. You have Dustin Poirier wanting a Legends fight, and you have Ilya Topuria that's moved up, who probably will walk into a title opportunity.
Mm.
What do they do? What's the plan?
I don't know. I don't know.
Dan Hooker as well.
I saw something the other day of like, it's going to be a sad day when this guard retires.
Yeah.
And it's like Poirier, Gaethje, Oliveira, mm-hmm. Chandler. Like those four dudes, man, are like the lightweight division. Not like, and this is excluding obviously the champ and Sarukian.
Of course, right? Yeah.
But mate, it's going to be sad time, dude.
Yeah, it is going to be a sad time. It was funny.
I love watching those dudes bash each other. They've been bashing each other for years. Just it's really like a little club, and then one of them moves up to fight Makhachev or Khabib back then, loses, and then comes back down and jumps into Fight Club, dude. You know what I mean?
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, it was like it's been like that for like it feels like 10 years, man.
I know. But Armin broke that. Like, do you remember you had Fazeev fight Gaethje in the first time? You had BSD fight Dustin Poirier and lose as well. So Armin was the one that broke through. But now that he pulled out of that fight, it's like he has to prove himself again. Yeah. So if I was to try and break it down, I do feel like Ilya Topuria is going to fight Islam Makhachev. Like, it's just the money fight. It makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And there's too many others, like, vying for that next spot. Either they do Armin Sarukian versus Charles Oliveira, run it back 5 rounds. We all wanted a 5-rounder fight after their first one. I think Gaethje against Poirier for Poirier's retirement fight would be awesome. But then you got Max Holloway. So Max Holloway against Dan Hooker. Boom. That's it. That's your plan. What do you reckon?
Mate.
How good are those fights, though?
Gaethje Poirier again.
Why not? Trilogy. They won a piece.
Yeah, let's do man. It. Like, that's... Again, I think both guys are retiring after that fight. Like,
yeah, Gaethje was like, I don't think either of our families deserve that, and I don't disagree. But as a fan, I would love to see it.
Yeah, it's wild.
Well, let's see what happens. And obviously, we had some other fights on UFC 313. Man, King Green, Bobby Green, probably should hang it up. Man, that was a pretty vicious knockout, bro.
You know, I don't know if that's why he should hang it up, because those kicks are tricky, man.
take it
from me. I've been kicked with them before.
Yeah, Paulo Costa.
Yeah, dude, they're tricky. They're tricky to see. It's you know, I guess it sucks going backwards. Dangerous just going straight backwards.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But maybe it is just time in general. I don't think that fight had anything to do with it. You know what I found funny about that fight was like on his walkout, dude, guy's taking off all his gear, throwing it into the crowd. Like giving it away. Like UFC ask you after every fight, can we have one piece of clothing for charity? Every fight.
Oh, no.
And dude's just like taking off everything, throwing it in the crowd. I love to see it.
That's pretty funny, man. So that was UFC 313. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. And today as well, there was a UFC fight night. I mean, it actually turned out to be all right, but didn't have too many star names on it. The reason why I want to talk about it quickly here is because main event, it was Roman Dolidze against Marvin Vettori, middleweight division, your division, Rob. Dolidze defeated Marvin Vettori, and obviously it went different than their first fight. At the end, Roman called out two people. He called out you first and then Israel Adesanya. How do you feel? How do you feel about that?
So, surprise, I actually did watch that fight.
Oh, you did. All right. Let's go.
I say we did. I watched a round and a half and was like, dude, I have nothing to gain from this. And I went back to Monster Hunter Wilds. Bro, it was just like, it was the exact same as their first pairing. Like the exact same. Like they're still at a pub, like the same pub. They're just like, ha, it's you. And then they just started punching on again, bro. Like it's the same. It was the exact same thing.
Oh my god!
Like, yeah, I reckon they should run it back, but like to break the trilogy. You know what I mean? To get a proper like to get some closure on whatever reason they're having a brawl.
That's so funny, man! Like, dude, were you surprised by the result? Did anything shock you? It was pretty stock standard, wasn't it? It was like their first fight. Like,
it's so similar. I said, I can't. Tell, was it close?
Look, I think by the end, Delize ran away with it. Like, Vittoria was getting really tired. Delize's tough, dude. Like, and he's had a couple of really nice wins recently, even one moving up in weight.
He's super tough and he hits really hard.
Yeah, like, I think Vittoria was the favorite heading into this, and I was like, that's crazy. Delize's gonna win this, and he proved it. He is tough. It was pretty stock standard fight from both of them, just like their first. But yeah, like Delize with the win is on a bit of a streak now and he wants to fight a top five guy. So that makes sense. I just don't know who that should be, you know?
Find out. Rob.
He called you out. I'm just saying, he didn't call me out.
I'm trying to fight a top five guy, dude.
I get it. What are you doing middleweight right now?
The queue.
Like, everyone's calling you out. Freaking Kayo called you out a few times. I think he saw an episode on our podcast and he tweeted, is like, why are you talking about this guy or Sean Strickland? I think you and Sean Strickland makes a lot of sense. The fact that you two haven't fought each other, you're both top five.
Yeah, I want to fight Sean. Like, I want to fight Sean.
Let's do it. Yeah. All right. I think that makes a lot of sense.
International Fight Week.
All right. USC, Dana, make it happen. Yeah. And then Roman can fight Kayo or someone. But anyways, that is UFC Fight Night for this weekend. And next weekend, we have another UFC Fight Night, but that one is in London. So we're going to do our quick predictions here. In the main event, Leon Edwards fights Sean Brady. It was meant to be JDM, but obviously everything changed, and now it's Sean Brady. Leon Edwards, 22 wins, 4 losses, of course, just lost the title to Bilal Muhammad. And then Sean Brady, 17 wins, 1 loss. He just beat Gilbert Burns via decision, and also Kelvin Gastelum via Kimura submission. So, Rob, what do you reckon of Leon Edwards against Sean Brady?
Honestly, I guess it depends which Leon we're going to see.
Yeah.
I feel like Leon's very hot and cold. He's very hot and cold. But I'm going to lean towards Sean Brady. I think his pressure might be a bit too much. He's going to obviously shoot takedowns. It really depends on which Leon we get. If we get the Leon that fought Usman, like the second time,
sure,
he's going to piece him up.
Sure. But what if we get the one that fought Usman the first time or that just fought Bilal? He's going to get taken down a million times.
We're going to see that picture of Leon Edwards in like round 5 losing to decision, looking real sad.
Real sad. Like, calling real out his sad. Coaches. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think Sean Brady's a southpaw, isn't he, as well?
And dude, it's Sean Brady's jiu-jitsu and his grappling, his wrestling. Like, it is next level. Yeah. And his only loss is obviously to Bilal Muhammad. Now, at the time, everyone was like, oh, what a crap loss. But it has aged very well now that Bilal is the champ. I really do think that Leon, unless he's changed his game fundamentally, is this going to get manhandled? Is he going to get taken down? And I just don't know if he's going to be able to do any different. So I'm leaning more towards Sean Brady. Leon just needs to be more active. I keep saying that, but he needs to throw more. We keep talking about him being a sniper and staying on the outside. If he can keep Sean at distance, I think it'll go a long way. I just don't know if he can. So
like what he did to Usman in that second fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but
then where was that against Bilal? Like,
exactly. Yeah, I'm leaning towards Sean as well, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, unless Leon, he could do it. He could get a lucky head kick in the 5th round. He's capable of it.
It's always there. There's always a percentage.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say Sean Brady. And look, if Sean wins this, man, the division is so interesting right now because you have Bilal against, if Bilal loses to JDM, 100% Islam Makhachev is moving up. That's happening, right? Islam Makhachev against JDM. Could you imagine that fight, bro? That'd be sick.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And then Sean Brady is probably there somewhere if he does beat Leon Edwards. I don't know what Kamaru Usman is doing. You got Shavkat as well. That needs to get the title shot at some stage. But
yes.
Very injured, interesting. Didn't he? He did get injured. Up. Yeah. Yep. Which, like, he didn't get injured like Armin got injured. So the UFC is still like, you're getting the title shot next.
Yeah.
But who knows? If Islam fights Topuria and wins and JDM wins, then I reckon they're going to make that double champ fight for sure for Islam. But then in the co-main, we've got Jan Blachowicz against Carlos Ullberg. Jan, 29 wins, 10 losses. He only fought like in July of 2023. That was the split decision loss against Pereira. And before that, he drew with Magomed Ankalaev. And Carlos Ullberg, 11 wins, 7 of which of those are KOs, 1 loss. He just beat Volkan Ozdemir and also KO'd Alonso Menafield. Rob, what do you reckon with this one?
Mate, Ullberg's riding that momentum train so well. So well. And Jan hasn't been fighting, like, at all.
It's been very inactive.
I think this is a really good fight for Ullberg to get his names in those conversations, you know, in those top of the tree, like, title, eliminators, title fight conversations. Yep. I think this is a very winnable fight for him, especially the way he fought Ozdemir. Mate, let's say we get prime Jan, Ullberg is in for a long night, a very hard fight, a hard test. I don't think we're getting prime Jan. I like the fact that he hasn't fought for a year and a half.
He's also 42 or something, man. Let me confirm that.
I don't.
Yeah, 42.
Yeah, we're not getting prime Jan.
but we could get incredibly durable, tough Jan that just doesn't go away. I mean, like, you know, Carlos Ullberg obviously beat Ozdemir, but didn't knock him out. I don't know if he's going to be able to knock him out. I'm very torn on this one, by the way.
Jan's got a head on him, doesn't he? He's got some granite chin.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think this is a very interesting fight. I'm going to lean towards Ullberg because I've met the guy and I want him to win. Like, I've trained with him. He's a good guy. And I think he's got the skill set to just piece him up 3 rounds and wrap it up. Call it a day. But prime Jan, hard fight.
Yes.
Old, non-active Jan, maybe not such a hard fight.
I'm going to have to go with Ullberg as well. Like, part of me really wants to lean towards Jan because he is so tough and durable, but he's 42 now, well over a year break. I don't know. And I think Carlos Ullberg can become one of those contenders. Plus as well, if Ullberg wins, him against Jiří Procházka for the number one contender spot. Oh, no, could you imagine?
That would be good. I want to sign up for that fight.
I would spend a lot of money to watch that fight. That would be freaking sick.
Yeah, I want to see that fight. I want to see that fight. I feel bad for Jiří though. I think he's going to get hurt, dude.
But that's who Jiří is, man.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got, do we have Hill against Roundtree? Has that been rebooked? I think it has. Oh, that division's looking so interesting right now.
It is. There's movement now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So that is UFC Fight Night in London. There's a few other fights as well, but we've got a big ass episode. Next up, we've got some gaming news. Rob, first of all, have you played Elder Scrolls for Oblivion? Did you ever play Oblivion?
Like, stupid amounts.
All right. So this story is just for you. Apparently, it's been leaked and rumored for a while that there's going to be a remake of Oblivion, and it could be coming very, very soon. Apparently, it's set for reveal in the next couple of weeks and likely releasing at least before June. So there's been a few people that's actually reported this leak, and one leaker came out recently to say it's being developed by Virtuos, who did Call of Duty, Tomb Raider, Dark Souls, Bioshock, Battlefield, Uncharted, Horizon, and they're currently doing the remake for Metal Gear Solid 3. Apparently, it's being fully remade in Unreal Engine 5, which is going to look freaking awesome. They've reworked the gameplay system, so from stamina, sneaking, blocking, archery, hit reaction, and the HUD as well. Rob, what do you reckon of a remake of Oblivion?
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down. I loved Oblivion. Like, really loved it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think I ever finished it. Like, and I would have like thousands of hours in it.
Thousands? And that's such a typical Elder Scrolls player. You don't even finish it.
Dude, like, there's just so much to do.
Yeah.
Like, did you play the DLC with Shia in the land of Shia Gorath?
No.
That was wild. That was so much fun. You know who Shia Gorath is?
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
Like he's ass crazy in his own land, and it's so weird and cool. I thought it was better than any other quest line. Oh, nah. I really liked Oblivion. I'm down for a remake.
All right.
I'm down for heaps of remakes. Like you said, they're remaking Metal Gear Solid 3. I'm so down for that too.
Oh, yeah,
like,
nice.
Metal Gear Solid's sick, bro.
I know people are against remakes sometimes, but to be honest, like there are so many games that I think of that I love that I would just love a fresh coat of paint and a bit of an improvement to the systems, and I'm all for it. Like Fallout 3 is one that I've talked about for a while. Yeah. Oblivion will allow me to play it again. Can I ask you, it feels like you're more of an Oblivion fan than Skyrim. Is that true?
I am. I don't know what it was about Skyrim. I don't know. Maybe it was all the Norse. A lot of Norse up there.
Maybe. Yeah, well, I wasn't a fan of the... Yeah. Like, I didn't mind the Civil War storyline.
The dragons were annoying too, to a degree. Like,
yeah, but the thing is, you enchant your weapon so you bonk them and you one-hit them and then they're no problem anymore.
Yeah, but... I don't know. I think maybe I burnt out though because I spent so much time on Oblivion. Like,
sure.
More than both of them, I prefer Morrowind.
Morrowind, okay.
Morrowind's.
Why is that?
Great. I don't know. Yeah. I like the way you level. I like the skills.
Fair.
I don't know. I like how open-ended it is. Like there's so many different guilds. There's so many different things you can do. I don't know. It was cool. Yeah. Much more freedom.
All right. But Oblivion, I think it makes sense why they picked Oblivion, although it's very funny because they've picked Oblivion. And have you heard of Sky Oblivion? It's the mod that's being created, like this overhaul mod. It's been in works for like 5 years, 6 years by this group of modders. And now this official remake is coming out. I kind of feel bad for them a little bit.
Like, I feel they've been so bad. All this work. That is so dirty.
I don't know if they planned it like that.
That's gross. It feels like a thing they would do, though.
No. The one thing that I'll say about Bethesda is that they actually give a shit about modders. This feels like a business thing. Like, business-wise, it makes the most sense to remake Oblivion. They should have done Fallout 3. Like, God. Do Fallout 3 and I'll play that shit. Anyways, let's see if it actually happens. It's still rumored at this stage. But next up, we have what we're watching, playing, and reading. Rob, you mentioned Monster Hunter. Tell me all about it, bro.
Yeah, so I haven't had a ton of time, but in the last week or so, I've managed to clock some hours into Wilds. Mm. And, brother, I love it. So much. Monster Hunter Wilds is sick, dude. It's like everything... It's everything Worlds was, but better, except for how they kind of shafted a couple of weapons. But it's everything better. Like, I didn't like the clutch calls anyway. The wound system's way, way better.
Mm.
Like, combos are better. I don't love some features in it, but are you playing it?
I'm not playing it. I'm playing something else, and I get into it, but
They've definitely – maybe it's because it's just released. It's definitely nowhere near as hard as World or Iceborne. And no, it's just not. Which is good, I think. Because the fights don't take, like, there was nothing worse in Worlds than having a 42-minute fight and then losing.
Like, sure. That sounds so deflating, man. I would put down my controller.
Also cool because when you finally killed him, you'd get the parts you needed to kind of build something that would make that fight not go that long anymore. Right. Fights just don't go anywhere near as I feel like the damage is just scaled a bit higher, or all the monsters just aren't as hard. Which is cool. I'm cool with it because they're gonna release harder monsters in the updates. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Now the end game weapons, the RTM weapons, I don't love those. I feel like it takes so much out of every other weapon in the game. They've got such cool weapon designs and such an extensive weapon tree. And then they've got the end game weapons, which is just the best of the best. And they all look the same. And I don't love that implementation.
Mm. But you said you weren't playing much though, but you're already talking about end game weapons. How does that work?
I said I've been able to clock some hours lately.
What is that? You just said you hadn't played much, but... Like 50 hours? 40?
Yeah, 53 hours.
Oh, there you go. All right. So nailed it.
Yeah, I reckon maybe 3 or 4 of those are AFK, probably. Maybe more.
Yeah, but that always happens.
Yeah, yeah. But I've put in time in the last week.
Nice.
And yeah, I just only about good things. Now, I know there was a lot of performance issues and stuff. I can't comment on those. I got a pretty good PC.
You got a spaceship PC, bro.
Pretty new, and it runs so well. Like, yeah. I have no qualms.
Yeah,
it looks great. The game's great. Everything's really cool. There's so many people on it, and it's clogging up the SOS flares. It's annoying the shit out of me. I can't join any party for hunting. Like, it's just like, as soon as a quest is posted, it's full, dude, like instantly.
Damn. That's good, though. That's a sign of a healthy community. Like, didn't it hit like 1 million concurrents? It's insane. It's
way past that now. But it's annoying, though, because I want to get into these hunts, man. But I got my sons on it, and... Yep. We were like squatting up and stuff.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
It's very it was fun. Like, I'm just hard carrying the hell out of them. They're just playing any weapon they want, just running around collecting herbs. Like, but it's fun. It's like, I don't know. It's if you're a Monster Hunter fan, it's Monster Hunter, the better one, the best one. Like, I like it.
The best one. That's a pretty big call, bro.
No, it's the best one for me. I like Worlds. I know some people like Rise, and I didn't like Rise. I like World, and this is like World 2, like the second Worlds. So I feel like it's the best iteration of it. Like, the combat is so fluid. Like, you're so engaged in the fights with the monsters. Like, yeah, it's so cool. I'm a little torn on what weapon to use, though.
What are you torn between?
Well, I use Sword and Shield, right? But I just feel like I hit so much. So much. Like, so much. Yeah. I want to just whack things once and it dies. I know there's not that type of weapon, really. And
you are such an Oonga Boonga player. Yeah, no matter what you play, bro.
Maybe I should. Like, I've tried playing Greatsword, but the Greatsword is so slow. Good God, slow.
Is there a quicker double-handed weapon?
No, there's a hammer, but I don't want to be. Hey, the hammer's got no reach. It looks silly.
But it's quicker?
I'm so torn. But I'm going to just muck around until I find my way. But I always just end up going back to Sword and Shield anyway. It's cool. But so I'm loving it.
You and I were talking in one of the other episodes that people were fairly negative towards Monster Hunter on Steam. And mainly that's like the performance issues. But do you see, maybe aside from performance issues, where those people are coming from? Or are you like, you're all wrong, this is a great game?
I don't know what anyone else could be complaining about.
It must be like, the performance.
Then. You know what I think it is? I think it's because of the amount of hype and marketing and success that I have. And, like, I don't know what it is. It's like a phenomenon right now that when a game hits top pre-ordered, that everyone jumps on it. I don't know what it's called, but that seems to be happening with a lot of these
like
mainstream AAA titles. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like everyone gets a bot, so they get like a whole bunch of mainstream dudes that have never played Monster Hunter before. Like, Monster Hunter back on PSP, dude, it was so clunky. It was the biggest piece of crap ever, but you still played it so much because hunting monsters was
PSP.
Fun.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't that different until like Worlds, man. Like, it was just clunky and crap. But I feel like a lot of the people that are complaining maybe are just non-Monster Hunter fans.
Fair.
You know, fair if you've spent all this money, you've been so pumped and it can't run. Like, I don't like the look of it on console. Like, it just does not look very good. And if it looks like that on your PC and stuff, like, fair. You have a fair warrant for complaining and stuff because,
yeah,
you know, I would hate that.
But did you play it on PlayStation 5 as well?
Well, my son has it on Xbox, and my other son has it on PS5.
So, hey, it's cross-platform. I mean, that's pretty cool. All right, it's
super cool, dude.
Yeah, nice. I like that they're doing that more and more nowadays.
I love the way it looks on those things.
Fair,
but yeah, well, like I'm very happy with it. If you're complaining about, I heard people complaining about the woke story and stuff like that. About
shut up, yeah.
You know, dude, I didn't even watch the story. I just skipped every cutscene.
Of course you did. It's like, you don't care about story in games, bro.
No, I'm actually done with stories in all games. Because, like, bro, this isn't killing monsters. I got to go. Like, I'm just here to kill monsters, use their feet as harder weapons to kill more monsters. Like, that's what I'm in it for. And so I can't comment on the story either.
Fair.
All the characters look pretty cool though, in my opinion. Right. They're all so well done.
Yeah, nice. I mean, you wouldn't know much about him. You didn't listen to any of them.
Yeah, but then I YouTubed it when I was driving somewhere. So I kind of know what happens.
Like the cutscenes?
No, like just what happens, like a story explained. Dude, I think this is how I'm going to play games from now on. It's so much better. Like, I just skipped all the cutscenes. I skipped everything, sped through all dialogue, and then just watched a YouTube on what happened.
That's wild, bro. Like, don't get me wrong. I love watching a YouTube video explaining a story to tie things in my head and make sure I connect the dots before I move on to the next game. But I still try and keep an eye on the story.
Yeah. You know? The cutscenes are really cool though. Like it's really cool. Dude, it's so jarring because like we'd be out, like the cutscene would start and we're just talking in camp and I'd skip it. Next thing you know, there's like a huge dragon in front of me. It's like slay started.
You're ruining the immersion, Rob. What are you doing?
It was
bro?
Jarring because I was like, who is this guy? but I just jumped straight into combat. And that just happened over and over because almost every cutscene ends in the next monster you got to hunt or the monster you got to repel or something like that. You know what I mean? It was cool, dude.
I'm judging really you a little bit, but that's pretty
funny.
Was
cool. I enjoyed it. It was my, I think it's my new way of enjoying games.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
On that last thing, what I'm watching. Yeah. I have never been more filthy with an anime than I was today when I watched Solo Leveling.
I thought you were done from our last discussion. You stopped watching.
No, because I think a couple of weeks ago, remember, are you up to date?
Yeah.
You know how we had that cry moment?
Wait, was there a new episode today?
Yeah, today.
Oh, then I haven't. No, I'm not up to date then.
The one the week before when he finishes the Demon Castle.
Yes. Yeah.
And he has that little cry moment with his mum, bringing her back and everything.
Sure.
Spoilers, everyone. Heads up.
Yeah, I mean, it was happening. Yeah.
I feel like that humanized him. That was the moment that you realize he was just putting on a brave face. The entire show. I feel like they needed that moment 10 episodes earlier.
I see what you mean. Hold on. His whole character arc started with him being like scared and,
It took two episodes. He was a pussy for two episodes and then he was a Chad with unlimited growth.
Yeah, but like, it's not like he started off as a Chad and then freaking 12 episodes in, he's been humanized. He started off like that.
Yeah, but it was two episodes and he went to Chad and then became ultra Chad, like cringe, like samurai, shadow, edgelord, up until episode whatever, the second last one, 18 or something, or more, further, 22.
I think don't like the character. That's okay. That's fine. Nah,
after he cried and we saw the human side of him and you saw like he was just putting up a brave face for the entire, the whole time to like he was so just doggedly on his mission to bring his mum back. I was like, you know what? Good on him. Like, and he let that go.
You
like,
turned and you leave. All right. So, are you going to keep watching it?
I think he should have. I think that should have happened 10 episodes earlier to bring that humanity into him. So he's just not edgelord the whole time.
If it wasn't going to be his mum, there should have been another storyline to show his human side. But I guess there was his friend and, I don't know, helping out other people. Yeah, but he was still
like,
an edgelord.
He treats him like shit. And he's just like so edgy, bro. Like, I watched today's episode though. I've never been more angry at an anime than today's. Like, you know... With the exception of like Dragon Ball Z, when they used to make you watch three episodes for Goku to become Super Saiyan. It's like, I'm sick of waiting. I hate this.
It's getting good now though. Like the last episode.
Me up.
Yeah.
Watch today's episode. It's good.
All right. I'm excited. I'm still keen for it. I'm tossing up between. I'm watching that and Shangri-La Frontier still. So.
Yeah. I haven't started the next season of that yet.
You should. It's good. It's not like mind blowing or anything, but it's a fun watch.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I kind of was falling out of it the last time I tried watching it because like I couldn't really get any sort of character depth. Like obviously his character in the game and he's like a achievement hunter, et cetera, right?
Yes.
But there was no real who he is sort of moments. It's like
yeah, there's still not really.
No. Yeah, and that's kind of why I fell off it at the end anyway. But what have you been doing anyway?
I've been putting like ridiculous amount of hours into Fallout 76 again.
76, you're back.
Dude, two year hiatus. The Lone Vault Wanderer, exactly right. I took like a 2 year hiatus, right? And then I did this video with Bethesda, and then I used this as my way to get back into the game. And I'm obsessed again. Like I think I've put well over 100, maybe close to 150 hours in the past couple of weeks. Wow. And I've just been doing end game raids after raids after raids. And I was not prepared for it. So when I jumped in, I had like no good equipment for the raids. I didn't even bother working on legendary power armor. They've introduced so many new systems like legendary crafting to like let you get the really good weapons and armor that you need that I just completely missed the boat on. And then I hadn't touched raids and I hadn't touched like 4-star legendaries that they introduced in that. So I was getting my ass handed to me initially. But I just kept at it. I was grinding, and now, man, I'm running raids like it's nobody's business. I'm so hooked, bro. I'm obsessed with the game. It's actually nuts.
Are you making guides again?
I'm not there yet because, like, to make guides on YouTube, you need to be an expert, right? You need to be able to like not just like have a vague idea as to like what are the good weapons, but you look at some of the really good Fallout 76 guides and any guides on the internet, they're going deep into the numbers. They're like actively testing all day because they do it full time. They're comparing this weapon and what happens when you pair this perk card with this and da 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 da. I'm not there yet. I'm still in that stage where I'm happy to like, I'm gonna make videos again on it. I'm gonna cover the updates. I'm gonna do the end game stuff with my build. But I'm not there where I can like provide those full proper guides again. Maybe in a few months, but yeah.
I don't really dig the guides that really start to crunch numbers when they start
looking. No?
No, like proper numbers when they start like data mining it almost like and like
sure.
Comparatively. Like it's just because people do that in Monster Hunter Wilds when I'm looking up like SNS builds and et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, you want to run this gem because it's too much. Like I just want to build. Like I want you to tell me what the build is, why I would want to play it, and why it's effective. And another thing is like why I would want to play this build more than any other. Like I want to be sold like a car salesman. You know what I mean? I know there is a niche group that love min-maxing and they want to hit those numbers and they want to nerd out with that sort of stuff, but I just like me personally, I like being persuaded. I want to buy a used car. You know what I mean? Have you heard of the YouTuber Joe Cat?
Joe Cat? No.
Okay. I haven't. When you get a chance, dude, but go on your Joe Cat. I think it's a series that really pumped up his channel.
All right.
But he did like a crap guide to Monster Hunter weapons.
Yep.
And he's the reason why I started playing Sword and Shield. Like,
wow. All right. That's
like
cool.
Way back when, because like he's obviously a Sword and Shield player and just sells it to me. So it's like such an average weapon, bro. But he sells it to me so well. Like that's all I've played since. Like even now, I still only play Sword and Shield. Even though I'm trying to find other weapons to play, I still only play Sword and Shield. Like
he did his job too good. Almost.
Yeah, man. And like I actually rewatched it recently, like today in the car.
Yeah.
Just to reaffirm my belief in the Sword and Shield, man.
Dude, it's so funny. Like I will rewatch guide videos, even though I know my guide's right, just to make sure. I'm like, do I have the right weapon and the right perk cards or whatever? It makes me at ease once I know that I have that right build. You know what I mean?
100%. And I think I told you, like, your guides were the ones that got me started on 76. And then I realized I realized I could just message you and ask for help. I would have saved so much time, bro.
I was like, well, I mean, look, thanks for the revenue and everything. I remember, I think you were like, it was an event that you're doing and you're watching one of my videos in your car on the way to the thing. I'm like, bro, just message me. What are you doing? I'm right here.
Yeah, dude, it's wild. I got four YouTube Endgame, like heavy bowgun set, Endgame meta bow set, Endgame SNS set, like on my page constantly right now. Like, you're gonna get wild. Actually, no, you're playing 76. 76 is a lifestyle, it's not a game.
It is, dude. It's a lifestyle. Yeah, and there's this new ghoul update coming as well, where like it's pretty much like a new class in an MMO. Like, you'll be able to play as a ghoul. There are new perk cards. It's a new style of playing. So,
is there a melee ghoul?
It's really cool the way that it works, right? So, you're a ghoul, right? And if you become too feral, a few of your other stats, like your charisma and whatnot, go really low, but you become really good at melee because you're a feral ghoul. So, you just run around like a beast, like freaking swiping at enemies. Or if you go the other direction, if you pop chems and you're not feral and you get really high, this thing called glows, you have like double the amount of health and you're dealing extra damage as a ghoul. So like, it's a new also meta way of playing, especially in raids. And you don't need to like eat or drink, but you need to keep your rads up. It's very cool. So it's a completely different style of game.
Tell me when ghoul comes out, because I want to be a feral ghoul, dude.
All right. Yeah, it's March 19 out time. Very excited. Let's go. Sick, man. Well, dude, that was a really good segment, by the way. I don't think it's been a while since we talked about what we're playing and watching.
I love talking about games, dude.
Hell yeah, dude. Last segment, though, we have viewer questions. Of course, if you have any questions for the viewer questions segment, let us know in the comments below. First up, let's clarify it. At QStrife, question for Rob. Are you still considering the move up to light heavyweight? And if you do still plan on it, do you have any ideas to who you would like to fight up there? Either way, can't see you, wait to see you back in the octagon, and good luck on your return. Rob, because you mentioned it in a previous episode.
I'm going to decide after this next fight.
So one more at middleweight at least.
At the very least. Okay. At the very least. Depending on, like, I'm going to really try and push the boundaries of muscle to weight ratio and everything.
All right.
Just see where we come up.
Sure. And you mentioned before, probably Sean Strickland would be a number one.
That would be great. That would be great. Yep. In an international fight league.
Yeah, nice. Next question is from at Blob the Bloob. Question for Rob. Have you ever considered going clean shaven, or is the goatee part of who you are?
Mate, I've had the goatee since I was like 19. I think it's just who I am. Like, can you imagine me without it?
It was very funny. I think it was in our previous episode. People were really complimenting your barber. So give a shout out to your barber. Does a really good job, keeps you clean.
Yeah, will do.
Do you get a cut every week? Like, are you that regular?
No, because like, look at me, I'm fuzzy as right now. it depends if I've got other things on. Like,
yeah.
Generally, I like to come clean shaven for the cast, but it's been a while.
Like, I try as well, man.
It's been hectic, but
dude, every time I go to my barber, they always compliment. They're like, your hair grows so fast. I've gone like a week after because I have an event on or whatever. I just want to look clean. And they're like, did I see you 2 weeks ago? Like, yep. No, it's only been a week. It sucks because I keep having to fix it up myself. It's crazy. Is your hair like that as well? Does it grow really fast?
Yeah, it does. But I'll probably get a haircut next week. I don't let it grow long anymore.
Yeah, fair.
Because I don't shave either. I get them to shave me. So.
Oh, they do your beard as well.
The whole nine yards. I'm lazy as.
Fair. Next question is from at Jai4481. I got a question. Who is Rob's favorite opponent to fight against out of all of his private fights? Your favorite opponent, Rob?
Maybe Vittori.
Why Vittori?
I don't know. It was like.
Vittori's an interesting dude, bro.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, I got to go to France. That was mad. Kind of pieced him up. That was mad.
Like, okay, that's what you like.
Like, it wasn't. I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to say?
That's a good answer. That's a fair answer. I don't know.
I have good experience from that. From then.
All right. And last question is from at Preston Winters 9656. Great to have you back, boys. Question for both of you. If I was to bring my family to Australia on holiday, where should we go? What do you reckon, Rob?
For a holiday?
Yeah. I think that's a, I don't, you shouldn't just go to the one place and stay there. I feel like Australia is mostly where you can do a few days in each place and you get to see everything. Do you know what I mean?
Depends where he's coming from. You know what I mean? Like, true. He's like coming from Fiji. I'm not going to recommend Cairns.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know? Cairns is mad though. If you go to Cairns, go to like Port Douglas or Whitsundays or something like that. It's really Whitsundays, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. What about like Gold Coast or? I mean, you gotta, it's like Sydney's. You got to go to Sydney, like to at least experience it.
Sydney City's mad. I like Sydney City. Like, so you can do the Opera House, do Taronga Zoo, the Harbour Bridge, do all
absolutely that sort of
stuff. Sydney City's like it's our main city.
Like, yeah, experience Bondi Beach, but I feel like you do need to hop between those places as well. Melbourne, if you like good food and just culture and museums and art and stuff, if that's you, and if that's not you, maybe not so much. It does have beaches, but I think those are some good recommendations, solid ones.
Maybe.
And that is episode 60 of the MMArcade podcast. To everyone that is watching or listening at this stage, thank you so much for your support. As always, Rob, closing remarks for the podcast.
Yep. Sorry again for last week, guys. Family was sick, but we're back. It's good to be back. Thank you for all your support as well, and I'll see you next week.